Dave and Darren with the Top 5 Things podcast. These are the top 5 things that happened on our morning show. Patrons, it's our goal to have a patrons-only Christmas spooktacular up and running for you here in the next couple of days.
Sometime this week.
Yeah. So if you're a patron, keep an eye out for that. If you're not a patron, maybe consider becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Dave, his name is Darren, and as I was saying at the beginning of this podcast, what we're about to do is a review of the top five things that happened on our morning show. This is made possible by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, right?
They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg, and they are both open 7 days a week, and they are celebrating the holiday season at NTI, and you can do so as well because they have their 12 days of Christmas going on with specials each and every day. The sales are available at both locations while supplies last. So make sure that you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Number one.
I watched this Debbie Reynolds movie called Susan Slept Here. Are you familiar with Susan Slept Here?
No.
It's a movie from 1954. Here's the premise of the movie.
How did this come about?
And tell me, what do you mean?
How did it come about that you fell upon this movie?
I'm just really into watching TCM lately. Mm. I find the movies are just better. Stuff from the 30s and 40s and 50s,
yeah.
I just enjoy it on
it. Yeah, I
gotcha. On a different level.
I gotcha.
But what's weird, though, is the premise of these movies, sometimes I got to tap out because it becomes super problematic. Because it's not 1954.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the gimmick. This guy is a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, for some reason, is being narrated by an Academy Award that he won. So it's like, hi, I'm an Oscar. Let me tell you about the fellow who won me. This guy wins an Academy Award.
I'm Jimmy's Piccolo.
Exactly. So this guy's dealing with writer's block, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Christmas Eve. And he can't come up with a story. He's just struggling.
He's beating himself up on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, he can't write anything. He can't figure anything out. And that's when a sergeant from the Vice Squad shows up.
What?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, you don't want that.
Well, no, it turns out they're friends.
Oh.
That this sergeant from the Vice Squad had helped him on one of the movies that he wrote. Because, like, he had some questions like, what would a cop do here
okay,
or there?
So does he reach out to the Vice Squad cop?
No. So they had worked before, right, on a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were friendly like that.
Yeah.
And then this cop just shows up on Christmas Eve, and he's like, hey, I got a present for you.
Uh-huh.
And the screenwriter's like, well, you shouldn't have got me a present, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't get you anything.
This is Christmas Eve. So he's like, I got you a present. And he goes, okay, what is it? And the cop goes, it's a 17-year-old girl.
Oh, boy.
And it turns out it's Debbie Reynolds, and she's 17, and she's a juvenile delinquent.
Mm-hmm.
And this cop's like, hey, I remember you saying you wanted to do a movie about juvenile delinquency.
Uh-huh.
I figured I'd just drop her off here for Christmas, and she could spend the night at your house.
Sure. And inspire you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and then they're like, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Just leave this 17-year-old girl here with a 35-year-old man.
That's what people would do.
Right? Even in 1954, this seems a little bizarre that this would happen. And I'm watching this going, is this crazy land? Like, why would you think that's a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
And then the cop says as he leaves, keep in mind, she's 17. So if you lay a finger on her, you're going to jail. All right, Merry Christmas.
This sounds like Entrapment.
Right, the whole movie. I'm like, and this is a Christmas movie?
Why don't they call it Entrapment?
They should have. Well, they argue back and forth. They don't care for each other too much. And he's trying to get rid of her. And she ends up spending the night there at the house. And it's all very above board. They play cards to decide who's going to get the bedroom. And she wins at cards, and she gets the bedroom. And then the next morning, they're hanging out. It's Christmas morning.
Yeah.
And he decides to give her a mink coat.
a brand new mink coat?
It's, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I just have one laying around?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm the sort of bachelor that's got a mink coat laying
around.
Well,
I think he got it for he's got a fiance, who, by the way, is smoking hot and age appropriate.
Yeah.
And then she's like, "Oh, thank you for the mink coat. I just wish I could get a guy to whistle at me one time." So then he whistles at her, and then she starts kissing him, and then the cop kicks in the door. It's like, talk about entrapment.
Oh, Lord.
So then he's like, they're gonna.
What's he doing whistling after she says that?
It's weird. It's so weird. And she's clearly playing the role of like this 17-year-old, like, you know, seductress.
Yeah, Lolita.
Right. So then the cop explains, well, she's going to have to go to juvenile detention until she's 18. And the screenwriter's like, what if I take her to Vegas and marry her? And they're like, well, then that would keep her out of jail.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So he takes her to Vegas and they get married on Christmas.
And she's still 17?
Yes. But he explains, listen, here's the thing. We're just getting married.
Just to keep you out of juvie.
Right. Just to keep her out of juvenile hall, right? And then once the judge is convinced that she's on the up and up, we will annul the marriage, and then she can start her life. I'm being a good guy here, right? So they go to the chapel, and they get married. 35-year-old man, 17-year-old girl, and they get married, and then he takes her out dancing. And he takes her out dancing. His plan is, I'm going to get her so tired from dancing that she won't want to bang me. Oof. We can't consummate the marriage if I tire her out dancing. 35-year-old man's going to tire out a 17-year-old girl.
Right.
He leaves her at his place. He goes up to his cabin in the woods so that he's not tempted to do anything. Meanwhile,
and chains himself up to a tree.
It's so bizarre.
Chained himself to a grizzly bear.
Uh-huh. And then
I'm guessing, is this a comedy?
It's a romantic comedy.
It's a romantic comedy.
But there's a lot where you're just like, oh man. Yeah. Oh, I don't know about any of this.
Yeah.
His best friend and like his assistant in the movie, Dick Powell is the guy who's the lead in the movie. Debbie Reynolds is the juvenile delinquent, the 17-year-old teen steam in this thing.
Who's his assistant, Tony Randall?
No, his assistant is Alvy Moore, and it's driving me crazy. Like, how do I know this
How
guy?
Do I know Alvy Moore?
How do I know Alvy Moore? And he's talking, and he's like, it's great. There's this really funny part where Alvy Moore's there, and the teenage girl is there, and Dick Powell's there, and Alvy Moore's like his assistant. He's like, oh, yeah, let me get to work on my Crepe Suzette. You're going to love that. And then he's like, yeah, he's getting to work on the Crepe Suzette. And he realizes, like, he doesn't know how to make Crepe Suzette. And Elvie's, like, climbing out the window. Like, get me out of here. This 17-year-old girl's going to get us all locked up.
Yeah.
Alvy Moore, I'm watching, and I can't figure it out. And then finally I look it up.
Yeah, right.
It's Mr. Haney.
No, it's Hank Kimble.
It's Hank Kimble.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Yeah, 10 years before Green Acres.
So then he leaves, the screenwriter leaves the 17-year-old girl with Hank Kimble.
Uh-oh.
Right? And then he comes back. He refuses to consummate the marriage, right?
Yeah. But he is married to her.
Yeah, they are technically married. Exactly. And then he wants her to sign the annulment papers. And she's like, I'm not signing annulment papers. Mm. That's that. Now the deal has changed. Uh-huh. So then he's up in the woods, up in the cabin.
Chained to a grizzly bear.
He comes back home, right? And the 17-year-old girl's been alone with Hank Kimble this whole time.
Yeah.
And when he gets there, she's eating strawberries and pickles. So he assumes that that Hank Kimble knocked up the 17-year-old girl.
As impregnated.
So he just starts.
I'm going to go kill this guy.
Yeah, he just starts beating him up. And she's got to explain, no, I just like strawberries and pickles. I'm not pregnant. Right? And then he says, listen, I'm in love with you, but I'm worried about our age difference. And then she says, no, we can make this work. And then the movie ends. They're married. The movie ends. He's like, our age difference, it's not going to work out. And the movie ends.
They're throwing
17-year-old girl.
They're both throwing dirt on the grave
of Hank Kimble.
Of Hank Kimble. They've killed him. And now they're burying him.
The movie
out
ends.
Out in the desert.
He's like, this isn't going to work. I'm 35. You're 17. It's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, it'll work. And then she grabs him by the hand and she's like, let's go to the bedroom and get this over with. And that's the movie. That's wow. the end of the movie. This old man is going to get on top of this little girl played by Debbie Reynolds. And it's very, very unsettling. And I'm watching it going, I don't know how you could make that movie, right? How do you get away with making a movie like that? That's 1954. 3 years later, she's in another movie called Tammy and the Bachelor. And in that movie, once again, she's a 17-year-old girl. And this time she falls in love with a middle-aged Leslie Nielsen, who I think gets in like a plane accident.
Is
or
he
something.
Older than 35 even?
I mean, it's like that was her gimmick in the '50s was she was playing 17-year-old girls who are tricking old men into marriage.
Tricking nothing.
Tammy and the Bachelor. She lives on a houseboat on the Mississippi River with her granddad, Walter Brennan. And then this guy gets in a plane crash, Leslie Nielsen.
Like they always
and
do.
They, they nurse him back to health, and then they end up getting together. They start making out. So that was her thing. That was what Debbie Reynolds brought to the party in the '50s. Was I will play teen steam in these movies, and nobody has a problem with it. It was weird to watch. It was just so bizarre watching this because it's like. Well, as soon as he goes, I brought you a Christmas present, it's a 17-year-old girl, I'm thinking, okay, this movie
did
took
Now, did anyone watch this with you?
I was watching it by myself, and my son came in the room, and he goes,
what genre is this? I understand you've grown quite fond of a certain genre.
I know, right? Yeah, they locked me up for watching it. At one point, Debbie Reynolds' character has this dream, and it's like this extended dance sequence.
Oh, boy.
It's just very bizarre.
Like and, she's on something?
I mean, it was just like, yeah, like the hot fiance was like a spider woman, and he was like this sailor, and it was weird. But yeah, my 12-year-old came in during the dance sequence.
So
and,
what's
and
going
he goes,
on?
No, he goes, what the hell are you watching here? Like, yeah, it's a movie from the 50s. What?
Yeah,
what,
no, that's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you what year it's from. I could tell it's an old movie. What I'm asking is, what kind of movie is this?
This is Dick Powell's last movie before he went to...
No. None of this Dick Powell stuff.
It's called Susan Slept Here.
I don't
and,
know.
Yeah, I was always a big, it's bizarre.
I was always a bigger Janet Leigh fan when it came to Janet Leigh or Debbie Reynolds.
Was that a choice that somebody had to make?
Choice I made.
Well, Debbie Reynolds is delightful.
She's no Janet Leigh.
I think I'd take Debbie Reynolds over Janet Leigh.
Well, there you go. Then that's why this works.
I don't think you can expect to see a remake of this one. This is not a movie. This is not a script they're going to be able to blow the dust off and make in 2022.
Maybe if you do it as a cartoon.
Why is she eating strawberries and pickles? Kimball, get over here. I'm going to beat the hell out of you.
Pickles! A lot of pickle talk today on the show.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very pickle episode. We're glad you're here for it.
Two.
We've got one of those pickle ornaments on the tree. In fact, I'm pretty sure you're the one that got it for my family.
Uh-huh.
A pickle ornament. I guess that's something that is unique to the American Midwest.
Is it?
They don't do the pickle ornaments on the coasts.
See, I thought it had, didn't it have like a German?
Yeah, it has its roots.
Origin?
It has its roots in Germany. But really, the idea of the ornament pickle, it's in the scheme of things pretty new.
Okay.
It came about in the mid 90s. People used to put actual pickles on their trees for the German tradition, but as far as like the.
And
you
for
know,
the squirrels to eat.
Yeah. The glass pickles. There's a German ornament manufacturer, the Lauscha Glass Center, started making the glass pickle ornaments in the mid 90s. One of their employees visited Michigan and saw that there were pickles on trees in Michigan. So they thought, oh, this must be something the Americans are doing. We should make pickle ornaments. And then now it's, I mean, almost everyone has it, right? The pickle on your tree. And isn't the gimmick that whoever finds the pickle first gets to open the first present?
I think that's the idea.
Right? Everyone has their own tradition. We just put the pickle on the tree, and it's just there all the time.
Put the pickle on the tree.
Put the pickle on the tree.
Now it's Christmas. Now. Why am I smoking so close to this tree?
Yeah, that's not a good idea, Grandma. We need you to back up.
Where in the hell's the pickle?
Where's the pickle on the tree?
Where is it?
We fought the Kaiser and we stole that pickle right from his dead body.
I want to open a present.
Okay, Grandma.
I want to open a present. You know why?
You found the pickle.
You want to know why?
Why is that, Grandma?
Because I know my present is a pack of cigarettes.
You're easy to shop for.
Is it? Did you buy me a carton of cigarettes?
Usually you take the pickle and you hide it somewhere deep in the tree, and the first child that finds the pickle on
in the tree
Christmas morning either gets a special gift, or they get to open their presents first, or you'll just be lucky in the coming year.
You get an extra present.
The Christmas pickle, also known as Weihnachtsgurke. I'm sure I'm saying that right. Knock that out of the park.
Excuse you.
It's something that German immigrants brought over to the United States. Poverty-stricken.
They were immigrants.
Poverty-stricken people, too poor to have actual ornaments, hung pickles from the tree.
Why wouldn't you eat a pickle?
Well, I'm sure they did, too.
If you're so poor that you can't have an ornament, eat the pickle. Don't hang it on a tree. Bozo.
Well, that was the story.
That's a bozo no-no.
That was the story that in Germany they were so poor they would hang pickles on the tree. And that was the story until people started asking Germans about this. Germany they said,
no.
We have no idea what you're talking about.
No, we don't.
So this is an American tradition that we got from Germany.
That we tried to say was German.
Exactly. The Germans know nothing about hanging pickles from trees. Mm-hmm. They did a survey, a German newspaper did, and 91% of German households had absolutely no idea.
Never heard of
what
it.
The hell a Christmas pickle was. So somebody came up with this. Woolworths.
I know what a Christmas pickle is, but it doesn't hang from a tree.
When Grandma gets the Christmas pickle, the kids should be in bed.
After all the kids are asleep, here comes Santa with the Christmas pickle.
No, Santa's not giving you the Christmas pickle, Grandma.
He was your grandfather.
Okay. Back in the 1890s, Woolworths began importing German ornaments.
Okay.
And some were in the shapes of pickles. So the people at Woolworths decided to make this story up, that the pickle was somehow a custom.
What year did they do this?
In the 1890s.
Oh, boy. Okay, so when you said the mid-90s,
No. Let me finish. That was Woolworths. But then in the 1990s, people began repeating the story. Mm. Like, it was in the 1890s and then just kind of went away. And then in
that
the 1990s...
story was dead and gone.
This story of the pickle... being, you know, something that was steeped in rich German tradition, that was just something, again, that they just started repeating that story. The green color of the pickle and the green color of the tree, only a child with keen observation skills would be able to find it.
Made it almost impossible to see with the naked eye.
Right, exactly, Grandma.
You'd have to be, I don't know, small. Small to find it.
There's another take on why the pickle is something that children need to look for on the tree, and this one is pretty dark.
Mm.
This is a folk story that involves an evil shopkeeper. This would be in Myra, which was the town that St. Nicholas lived in.
I had a cat named Myra.
Myra is where St. Nicholas, the benevolent St. Nicholas, lived. And as the story goes, there was a shopkeeper who would capture children and then dismember them and stuff them into pickle barrels.
Mm.
And as the story goes, St. Nicholas would pray and the mutilated children would emerge from the pickle barrels alive and well. So this creepy shopkeeper would kidnap and chop up kids and then put them in a pickle barrel, and then Santa Claus would pray, and then they'd come out of the pickle barrel all in one piece.
And you would hear them singing. You would hear them singing from the barrel.
That's bizarre.
And a song. They would sing Brine Song.
Do not tell your kids that story. You know why we look for the pickle? Because a shopkeeper used to chop little kids like you up. But then Santa Claus did a prayer, and then they came out of the pickle barrel. Happy birthday! So, yeah, this is a German tradition that Germans have no idea what we're talking about.
Huh.
But it is fun. So if you've got a pickle on your tree, and again, this is something that is more of a Midwestern custom. It hasn't made it to the coasts yet. Are there just more people with German heritage in the Midwest? I guess that makes sense. But anyway, I like the pickle ornament. It's one of my favorites, and you gave it to us, Darren, so thank you.
I gave you the pickle.
Okay, don't say it in that tone. Don't.
The whole family.
Christmas is ruined. Don't.
It's a Christmas pickle.
No.
From me.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Grandma, for everything.
Number three.
Went out and got the last of the stocking stuffers over the weekend.
Okay.
You know, little treats to put in the stockings.
Does the cat have a stocking?
No.
Does the cat get treats?
Yes.
Christmas treats.
I mean, the cat, yeah. Yeah, the cat will have presents.
Okay.
That's not my decision, but that's what happens.
Well, I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, the cat does okay, but the cat does not have a...
Does the cat get to open the presents and then play with, like, the wrapping paper?
The paper's a big, big thing for the cat.
As a matter
the cat cares more about the paper than whatever.
As a matter of fact, this is what I got you for, right. It's just,
knock yourself out, are you? Here you go.
It's one layer of paper wrapped inside another layer wrapped inside another.
Exactly. Went and got all of the treats there for the stocking stuffers. Including, I don't know, it's just something that I get sentimentally attached to. And I think it's because it was something that we always used to get from my grandmother when I was growing up. The lifesavers that are in like a book, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I got
they
that.
They still have those, huh?
Yeah, that's still something that they make.
But it's a bigger book than that you're holding. It's like it folds out.
Yeah, it's like a box with like six lifesavers in
it. And then it looks like it's fireplace or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. No one in my house really likes lifesavers, but I ended up getting it anyway, just because I don't know. I like the
people say they don't like lifesavers until they've got one in their mouth.
It's very well said.
And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, oh, cherry.
That might just end up in
lime.
It might just end up in my stocking. We'll see how that goes.
Well, you can do that. That's allowed. Or to put something in your stocking and only in your stocking.
There's all kinds of really neat, you know, cool treats that you could put in people's stockings. But then I realized, as I was putting everything away, hiding my stocking stuffer stash, I realized, oh, wait a minute, I didn't get any candy canes. Mm. And, like, that's really the thing you're supposed to put in a stocking, right? Like, that's like...
You don't have any of those hanging on your tree?
No. There's no candy canes whatsoever in my stash for stockings or in the house.
What is the Quickmas meal going to be this year?
I haven't decided.
Have you decided? Yeah. You guys have decided on that yet?
I haven't decided. Don't know. I think we're doing the chicken noodle crock pot thing.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what the plan is.
All right.
Yeah, I've been kept out of those talks.
Why is that?
why is my input not sought?
It's too much on his plate.
Yeah, I do have a lot going on. A lot of things in the hopper. Well, he realized, okay, I don't have any candy canes, and now I'm thinking,
too late for candy canes?
Do I go and try and get some candy canes? Or I've decided enough's enough. And now I see that...
When is enough enough?
Well, because come to
people
think of it...
People are hurting.
And as I was at the place, the back room there in the Target where
back
they have
room.
All the... Well, they've got like an area there at the Target where they have
There's
all the
There's a back room?
Stores. Not a back room, but it's towards the back of the store. It's not a back room per se, but it's,
is
you know...
Is it part of the store?
Yes, of course it is. But they have like an area that's like, this is the Christmas stuff.
Like behind the store?
No, it's in the store. It's just in the back. But they kind of make it
But
so
like
it's...
a different entrance or something?
I'm gonna it's you walk in the main door, it's in the store, in the back of the store.
But you have to ask for it.
No, it's readily available. I don't know, there's no password to get in.
I don't know about this.
It's not some sort of Christmas speakeasy.
I don't know.
Well, it occurs to me now that
seems very clandestine.
I don't remember seeing any candy canes, and it turns out.
You think you got hit on the head?
No. Apparently, we had there was a weak peppermint crop.
Hmm.
Can't they use spearmint? You've got COVID caused logistical issues and a weakness in peppermint crops. They're calling it the candy cane crisis of 2021.
Couldn't you use like winter mint?
What do you mean winter mint? Winter mint candy canes? Do they make those? Peppermint production in the United States over the past decade. This is according to the United States Department of Agriculture. The peppermint farmers are
hurting.
I had no idea. And of course there are peppermint farmers.
I would imagine
Wouldn't that be the coolest job ever?
If you're a peppermint farmer,
yeah.
The first rule of peppermint farm,
yeah.
No cologne. If you're a peppermint farmer,
why is that?
You don't wear cologne.
Because you gotta
You don't do it.
These peppermint farmers,
you're gonna smell good enough. Okay.
Struggling.
Peppermint production in the United States declined nearly 25% in the last decade, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. And there's a ripple effect that is now also creating havoc in the gingerbread house construction sector.
You know what peppermint's good for? Well, this is spearmint.
What's that?
It's good for a bunch of...
ailments?
Yes, including, get a load of this, gas, indigestion,
yeah,
nausea,
yeah,
diarrhea.
Wait a minute. You're telling me spearmint is good for diarrhea?
Upper GI tract spasms, irritable bowel syndrome, bile duct, gallbladder swelling, and gallstones. This is spearmint.
So if you're having trouble finding candy canes, you're not the only one. They're hard to find, apparently. Although it says here that some places have plenty of candy canes.
It's probably being all gobbled up by someone who is a diarrhea sufferer.
Getting the candy canes for their diarrhea?
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Although you would think that if you ate too many.
Yeah, that can't be good for your stomach, all that peppermint in there. That's not great.
Well, again, this is spearmint.
Well, spearmint, is that a thing? Or is spearmint like... Spearmint is like is that something that people grow?
Spearmint is also known as garden mint, common mint, lamb mint, mackerel mint.
Interesting. I thought I read somewhere that peppermint's supposed to be good for, like, memory retention.
And weight loss.
Peppermint is or spearmint is?
Spearmint.
Okay. Well, can they make spearmint candy canes? I just think that would be...
Is peppermint more spicy?
Hmm.
It would make sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Peppermint is a hybrid, a cross between water mint and spearmint.
Really?
And now you know.
So that's the difference. Peppermint's flavor is similar to spearmint, but it contains the ingredient menthol. So it's like cool with a K. Is that right? Peppermint is menthol flavored? I had no idea. If you're cooking, they say spearmint's better for cooking in a savory dish.
Gotcha.
But peppermint's what you use if you're doing a dessert.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
It's more of a dessert mint.
Mm-hmm. You know why they call it spearmint?
Because it looks like a spear?
Yeah, the leaves are spear-shaped. Interesting. I had no idea. Well, if you're looking for candy canes, I mean, if you see them, grab them, hoard them, and make a fortune on the black market. That's what I'm telling you to do. Because
all these diarrhea sufferers are looking for it. Like they're jonesing for it.
People are about going crazy.
Yeah, they're about going out of their minds. They're trying to, you know. trying to cure the diarrhea before the holidays.
You're right. A little preemptive diarrhea candy cane.
Yeah. Take the edge off.
Okay, Dave and Darren listeners, this is your assignment. When you're celebrating with your family this holiday season, And if there's a candy cane, here's what I want you to do.
Oh,
and,
no.
And Darren, I want you to sign off on this.
Oh, no.
I want you to take the candy cane, take a couple licks in front of it in front of your family and go, this is just what I need to cure my diarrhea. And let us know what the reaction is.
And then say, God bless us, everyone.
Diarrhea.
It's a Christmas miracle.
This candy cane will soothe the savage beast. And by that, I mean my colon.
And I think this is probably the greatest Christmas miracle ever. I can't think of anything that would have been greater.
Okay, I have one more assignment for everybody. When you go and visit Santa at the mall, and you're sitting on his lap, and he asks you what you want this year.
A cure.
Whisper in his ear, peppermint for my diarrhea.
And he's going to be like, I'm not sure what that kid asked for. I think maybe a dog.
And here's what I want you to do. Have Jell-O in your pants when you sit on his Santa's lap. And then just start squishing around, grinding on his lap. So he's under the impression that you've diarrheaed yourself. I need candy canes for my diarrhea, Santa.
Fast.
And I mean yesterday.
Long before 25th.
Night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, except for my colon. I need peppermint, damn it.
Just walk your three-year-old through this whole story.
It's like hot sand coming out of my butt. Santa.
Sand.
Santa.
Sand would be a treat.
Santa, it hurts to wipe anymore, Santa. Can you get me some candy canes for crying out loud,
and I
Santa?
Mean strongly.
Santa, I want to be very clear. All I want for Christmas is peppermint for my diarrhea. But whisper it to him. Don't say it out loud. The first assignment is to say peppermint for your diarrhea in front of your family.
But Santa, I want to do is go outside and play without it becoming an international incident.
I need a candy cane to stop the squirts. Are you listening to me, you beardo weirdo?
And then tug
Where's it. My candy cane, damn it? Then, I'm dehydrated.
And then tug out his beard like he's beard like he's not listening. Listen to me!
You're not listening, you old man! One of us is going to go to jail, and it's not me!
Uh-huh.
Make sure you do that. It'll be the greatest Christmas gift ever.
Happy New Year to you in jail!
How would you like a reindeer's head in your bed?
You're not taking me seriously. You stupid old bastard. I got diarrhea, something awful. Where's the candy canes, you son of a bitch? The elves drag you kicking and screaming from the display. This man's not helping. He's not helping. You're not a good listener, Santa.
The elves carry you off as you chew on their oddly shaped ears.
I got pudding pants, damn it! Help me! Would you help me? You're not listening to me!
How else can I say this so you understand?
Would you just listen to me, damn it! You stupid red bastard! Where's my peppermint, I said?
Number four.
Did I tell you we had a deer in my backyard last night?
It happens.
And this thing was massive. Like, huge antlers. It was, honestly, it looked more like a horse than a deer. And the way it was jumping the fences in my neighborhood, I mean, nothing but respect.
Did it have a saddle?
No,
it was. That's always a tip off.
That's a dead giveaway.
Yeah,
there was a little man with a whip. It was colorful clothes. It was something else. No, it was just a big buck in the backyard. And at first, when my wife said, "Hey, there's a deer in the backyard," the boy and I had the same thought. She's huffing gas or something.
Right, she's on the glue. You know. I get it.
Backsliding. What are we doing here?
I get it.
What are we doing here? Fine.
Just let her think. So
yeah, no, it was impressive though. It was in the backyard for long, but it was there.
Typically, they're not.
Yeah, yeah. But it's pretty rare to see them in my neighborhood.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm. I think that's only in the 12 years we've been there. I think that's only the second deer I've seen.
Hmm.
It was in my yard. Every once in a while, you'll see them, like, not too far away from the house, but that's once in a blue moon.
Sometime they're at the Quick Star.
Yeah, that's right. Getting slushies.
Yeah. It's a burger cheese, it's a dollar cheeseburger day.
Here's the headline. Austin car dealer murder for hire suspect caught after he wrote a positive review for one of the alleged hitmen.
I'd do business with him again.
Eric Charles Mond of Mond Automotive Group arrested.
Prompt. Thorough. A complete and utter delight.
Arrested after allegedly hiring a contract killer to murder his ex-girlfriend and her former boyfriend. Left a positive review for the business of one of the men that was hired just days before he was caught. According to the United States Department of Justice, Eric Mond, who is married...
and apparently can't get over things.
Reached out to his ex, 33-year-old Holly Williams, about visiting on his upcoming trip to Nashville.
She says no.
Upon hearing of the messages, Williams' estranged boyfriend, 36-year-old William Lanaway, messaged Mon asking for hush money and threatening to expose the relationship if it wasn't received. You get this now? So this guy that owns the car dealership, he's got a side piece in Nashville. And he says, hey, I'd like to come and see you for a little bit of extramarital.
He thinks he does.
No, he does. He does. It was his ex. So yeah. He wants to have a little sex with the ex. But then somehow her...
ex.
A strange boyfriend finds out about it and is like, well, this is a way for me to make some money. A month after the letter, this was in February of 2020, okay? He messages Mon asking for hush money and says, you don't give me the money, I'm going to tell your wife about how you and Holly are hooking up in Nashville.
That's fine. How about I hire a hitman?
Right. So this is February of 2020. March 12th, 2020, Holly and the ex-boyfriend, right? Holly Williams and this William Lanaway, both found dead at a Nashville construction site in a white 2005 Acura.
Boy.
Mond allegedly hired three men to see the crime through. 47-year-old Galad Palid, owner of a security service in Austin, Texas. 46-year-old Brian Brockway, and North Carolina native Adam Carey. Since the killings, someone by the name of Eric Mond left 5-star reviews for the company that one of the alleged hitmen owns.
Uh-huh. Now, I wonder if it makes sense if you're a hitman to do other things.
Like,
I'm a hitman, but I also do mud jacking, waterproofing.
Both the reviews are still up on the security provider's Google page. And now this Mon has been charged with conspiracy to commit kidnapping resulting in death, carrying, brandishing, and discharging a firearm in relation to a crime of violence. But yeah, he left a 5-star review for this guy's security service. Palid is a former member of the Israeli Defense Forces. He advertises helping clients respond to threats of extortion, armed guard protection, VIP and executive protection, armored vehicle services, and special event security.
And lawn care.
So not a bad idea to have other things on your resume. In this economy?
Diversify.
According to the Department of Justice, Mond took $15,000 out of his account the same time a intelligence report was delivered. After an alleged promise to stop the extortion, an indictment then says that he wired $750,000 to an account owned by this Palid. Holy cow.
couldn't you have just canceled the date?
Well, the date wasn't the problem anymore. The problem was that her ex-boyfriend was going to tell his wife that there had been some sort of infidelity.
Allegedly.
Right? And, I mean, looking at this coldly and calculatingly, if you're some sort of big deal who owns a bunch of car dealerships in Austin, Texas, your wife could get half of that if she leaves because you're out there stepping out.
Says you.
What do you mean, says me?
Says, who are you going to believe, this guy or me? What?
Well, she could... I'm just saying, like, if you're looking for motive.
Did I not just set you up with a brand new SUV? What are you talking about?
The two were shot in the head and then dropped off at a construction site.
Seems pretty extreme.
Discovered by a worker on March 13th of last year. After positive reviews were left on the security services website, all four men were arrested. Oh, my gosh.
You can't just say,
Well, I mean, then this ex-boyfriend was going to blab about the affair.
Did not.
No, I never.
What are you talking about?
I'm not saying that he was right to have these two murdered. What I am saying is it does establish motive as to why he would do it. Because, again, he had a lot to lose. Now he's going to lose absolutely everything. Instead of the half that he would have had if his wife left him, you get nothing. Seems, you lose. Good day, sir.
Seems like an overreaction to me.
Well, yeah, I'm not suggesting just that saying. Anyone here did the right thing. But cops are saying that the reviews really kind of helped them...
seal the deal?
Yeah, put things together as to what happened, right? He threatened to expose the affair if he didn't send cash on March 1st. Oh, my gosh.
First of the month.
I need
that money by the first of the month.
Five.
Number five.
Turns out seals eat sharks. There's a new predator, although this has probably been going on forever and we're just now learning about it, or something's changed in the waters. You know, Darren, it's like I've always told you. There's fun in the water, but there's danger too.
So we're talking about a seal team.
That's right.
Teaming up on a shark, I'm guessing, as opposed to a seal taking down a shark.
Well, the thing about being a shark that I think is really just the best is you don't have a ton of predators going after you, right?
Well, and they eat seals, clearly.
Right.
You see that all the time.
Apparently, the feeling is mutual.
Right.
Researchers say, and they were shocked to find this out, leopard seals are shark predators. They found shark remains when going through the seal's scat.
Okay, but does that mean they're eating live sharks or they're eating dead sharks?
Because
that's not, I don't really consider you a predator if you eat me when I'm dead.
Interesting. So if it was just a floating shark and the seals have their way at it.
Then you're no predator to me.
No. Right. I mean, I guess I don't consider buzzards and vultures to be predators to me. No. But if I were to die in the desert, they'd probably have a feast. Although, I don't know about feast.
Yeah, let's take it easy with the whole feast thing.
You get a good meal.
Let's just back it down a bit. Let's call it brunch.
I don't have any cantaloupe with me.
You might have
serving station.
You might have some sort of melon in your pockets.
If only I had cracked open the melon, maybe I would have survived time in the desert.
The fact that you had melon in the desert and failed to use it.
I wanted the buzzards to have something
doesn't
nice.
Doesn't bode well for you and your thought process. The fact that, what might be able to provide you with some sort of, sustenance and
moisture.
Even moisture.
Yeah.
Well, a nice honeydew melon of some sort. It's like, I'll save this for later.
when I get through the desert, I want to reward myself.
When I get through this desert with a melon with no name.
Yeah, it'll be a nice treat
for me. It'll be a nice treat.
No, that's my after dessert.
That's
my after desert dessert.
Right.
That's what that is. I'm not going to just go ahead and tear that open now.
Holding out. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily consider the vultures a predator either.
Right. They found, these are researchers writing in a journal called Frontiers in Marine Science. And, of course, we subscribe to that journal.
Are these games without frontiers?
They say, she's so funky now. These were not rare random encounters in the waters off New Zealand. The evidence turns up frequently enough when they go through, again, it's somebody's job to go through seal scat and see what the seals are eating.
And yet you think you have a crap job, which you do.
They say here that sharks might constitute a substantial or important part of the diet for some leopard seals in that region.
That's fine, but are you eating live sharks or dead ones?
Well, it says here that leopard seals, which are, as far as seals go, pretty big, actually. They're pretty large by seal standards. They have been shown to hunt and feed on sharks. So they're hunting.
Okay, so we're talking about hunting.
Yeah, they're actual, honest-to-God
predators. We're not just collecting.
Mm-hmm. Lead researcher Krista van der Linde of leopardseals.org, someone who's going through the seal scat.
You think you have a crap job?
See, I would have thought seal scat was just seal, seal, soobity, seal, 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 soobity, seal, seal, seal. She says we were blown away to find that sharks were on the menu. To know there's another marine mammal also munching on sharks, that has implications for the whole food web and our understanding of how it's all interlinked. The evidence of one confrontation with sharks, one seal's face showed 14 shark-related wounds, which is important because that suggests the seals are not simply scavenging on shark remains, right? The sharks are fighting back. But to the point when you get enough of these things to go after a shark... And then there you go.
It's going to throw game off the food web, man.
The whole food web.
The whole food web.
The whole food web.
That's why there's the cream cheese shortage. By the way, I bought some this weekend. Yeah, total yumbo.
It was plentiful.
Plentiful.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Total yumbo.
We got used on that one. I feel like a dope.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, I guess all of that just happened. Thanks for having us on.
Whatever that was.
I got a kick out of it. That was the top five things that we did on our morning show, available every morning on your FM dial here in town at 93.9 FM. That's The Planet 93.9, available always everywhere on our live stream. Thanks for listening to the Top Five Things podcast, and thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they are the sponsor, and they have two locations, one's in Milan, one's in Galesburg. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only, and they're celebrating the holiday season at Nature's Treatment with their 12 days of Christmas, where they've got different specials each and every day leading up to Christmas. The sales are available at both locations while supplies last. So, if you'd like to sign up for the recreational waiting list, what you do is you go to the website, and that's easy enough. That's ntillinois.com.
Thanks for downloading this, subscribing to it, and listening to it. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline.
Yeah, they keeping it hot.
With cakes for nudges!
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.